This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Everybody was watching. I can't wait to
see. Including nightly sports call viewers if they listen to Richie.
I can't wait to see how granular this gets, because usually with big sporting events like the Super Bowl, they'll show you what the rating was in each market.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to see where Pittsburgh ranks among United States cities.
I have a prediction.
I think it's going to be in the top five.
Here are the cities I feel very confident in the United States in saying we'll be ahead of Pittsburgh. Boston, for sure.
I don't know about that.
I think Boston. Was there a Celtics game last night?
There was. But not only that, Boston's such a big city that it's tough for them.
It's a hockey town, though. Buffalo, for sure.
I think Buffalo's a good one.
Detroit, Chicago, Buffalo, Boston.
See, I was going to say Minneapolis and Buffalo.
Oh, Minneapolis is a good one.
But maybe that's it. Right there, man.
Yeah, there's nowhere in like the Pacific Northwest where it's that. You know what would be a very funny sign that hockey's really arrived? Are there enough people in like randomly in Phoenix wanting to watch Austin Matthews? Because isn't that where he's from? Like, he grew up in Arizona?
Well, the Kachuk boys are born in Scottsdale too, because their dad played for the Coyotes when they had those sick sweaters that they'd wear. The black one with the...
Oh, with all the goofy stuff on.
Remember that, like, Don?
The trim was very...
great.
That was the most 90s jersey you could possibly have come up with, that Coyotes jersey. Bring back that, and bring back the old orange, yellow, and black Canucks jersey with the skate.
They do.
The Cliff.
When the Penguins played there this year and they gave up like 4 goals in 30 seconds, they wore those jerseys.
The Cliff Ronning and Trevor Linden era. These are guys that Donnie has never heard of in his life.
I just have a very generic question to ask to start today's show, and that's just, what's your reaction to this game? Because everybody watched it, and everyone has some opinion on it, whether that's what happened, whether that's Sid, whether that's something about how USA lost, whether it's about the intensity level of the game and the quality of the game. Everybody has an opinion on this. In fact, I know that for sure, because something happened today when I was at the gym that had never happened in my entire life as a sports fan. Not one time. I'm almost 40 like you. Something happened that had never happened in my entire life watching sports. They turn on ESPN at the start of First Take, at the start of a debate show, and that's the topic they began with. They talked more hockey on ESPN this morning than they have since, I don't know, ESPN stopped doing SportsCenter and running Keith Olbermann and Rich Eisen.
Dan Patrick out
like,
there.
Okay, now it's the top of the hour. We're just going to replay the same SportsCenter that we just aired at 9 at 10 back in the day when they used to do
Would you watch the re-air even though you'd watch the whole
first one? I'd watch it back a second time, absolutely.
Like, there wouldn't be anything new to me. I was just like, yeah, keep it on.
So they did more hockey today on those shows than they have combined over the last 10 years, debating it, talking about it on every level, like integrating the NBA into the conversation. I mean, it was all about last night's game.
Mm-hmm.
And the most interesting thing I saw locally, I'm actually going to give myself credit for this because I came up with it, And the reaction, I thought, was extremely telling. Yes, I'm patting myself on the back.
Donnie, let's congratulate the man briefly on all of his success.
Because it occurred to me in the middle of the game, I'm like, I want to gauge how invested and interested people are in this game. So I put out a Twitter poll question. Which one would you rather see? What would you rather see happen? The USA win this game against Canada or the Penguins come back and make the playoffs this year? And almost 60% of people said, I want the USA to beat Canada and win this thing.
I just voted in it because I still can. And it ended up evening out to almost 50-50.
Right, but that's because it was after the game. But when the game was going on, it was
heavy in the USA favor.
It was 60 to 70% USA. And man, when this tournament started, and this is a testament to the players who made it what it was and how seriously they took it, I looked at this as an exhibition. I mean, legitimately, guys like Ryan Whitney were asking, are they going to hit in this thing?
Like, are they even, like, I think Rossi, who has since said he was dead wrong about this, and credit to him for just saying I totally guessed
I'll do the
wrong.
Same thing. I was dead ass wrong, too. I didn't think
Rossi
it was going to be this competitive.
Rossi said, I think beforehand, he was like, he was live blogging it for work. And so he's like, I'll be watching this and I'll be whatever, watching USA, but not with that much interest. I think these guys are going to be going 75 to 80%. I give full credit to hockey players. They desperately want to play for their flag. And it made this
That's
event.
Right. And,
it just
and,
made the event.
And especially with hockey, and maybe it goes all the way back to what happened almost 45 years ago. The anniversary, I think, is tomorrow of the Miracle on Ice. It brings out tribalism, patriotism, and jingoism more than any other sport. Because you're willing to say, I'd rather win this made-for-TV hockey event that didn't even include one of the best countries in the world at it.
One of the three best.
Yes. I'd rather do that than my team that I root for 82 nights a year rally to make the playoffs, whereas we've seen with the Stanley Cup playoffs, anything can happen.
So I have a lot of different thoughts on it. The first one is, this sounds like a fence-sitting take, but it's not. There was just some part of me that wanted to see Canada and Crosby win, and it's not like some anti-U.S. take. It's just how I felt.
I wanted to have it both ways.
I know. I saw you tweet about that, and then you tweeted right after, Freebird is still a great tune.
It is.
You know what I just loved, man, my takeaway? We got a Game 7 in intensity level, and honestly, it was better than a Game 7 because you're never going to see that much talent on each team, and even the best two NHL teams aren't going to be close to the talent level on ice, shift after shift, line after line. We got a Game 7 on February 20th.
Yes,
intensity
exactly.
Intensity-wise. I mean, like, if you know what it felt like?
Sport, great
it felt like
sport,
a little sports treat for all of us.
100%. Great sporting events at random times when you don't expect it are just orgasmic. Exhilarating.
It felt like a little treat.
Amanda's in Columbus for work, so I put Stella down at 8. The game said it started at 8, but that
never
really
does.
Meant 8:30. And I was able to give that sucker my full undivided attention last night. And I was like, this is...
Okay, I'll give you another take. You got your full undivided attention. You want to know how much it drew me in? I had to do the sports call last night. I had the game recording. I got ticked off. Like, I didn't want to listen to it in the car because listening's always a little bit different. I wanted to be able to go back if I needed to and watch the third period if, like, there was a ton of action. I was somewhat annoyed. Love going on the sports call. Love talking. I was somewhat annoyed that I couldn't sit there and just watch the game last night. I just wanted to see it. And then when I got home and realized I had, like, basically beaten the overtime from ending, you know what I mean? Like, I had beaten
sure.
the puck drop.
Yeah.
I was like, man, this is just get to sit, plop my ass down in a chair here Whoa. And watch this. And it's awesome to watch a game. And this is why you say they started first take with it. This is the first time the NHL has sort of had more cultural cachet for a minute, had, like, the buzz around it. Compared to, like, the NBA.
They got a little bit of it
forever.
In the finals because McDavid was trying to rally the Oilers to a win, and he's the
little
face
bit.
Of the league.
But like
but
this,
nothing like this.
This was, no, I'm talking true mainstream. Like, I think more, way more than that.
It was a perfect storm. Trump is, like, the
buzz.
Most polarizing person on planet Earth. And
Other than Taylor Swift.
And he interjected himself into this. And then the first game where the two countries who are kind of jousting with each other played... Guys started getting punched in the face 9 seconds in. And I know you poo-pooed it and looked down on it, which is fine. We're not debating that again. But nothing draws people in like we're, because this is how it got spun, we're like sticking up for our country by slugging other people in the face. And that's why you had like MSNBC and Fox News and Good Morning America and the Today Show wanting to talk to coaches, players, and GMs from these games. Because it, just like Tiger Woods was able to do and Caitlin Clark has been able to do and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, like it brought
it
people outside of hockey and outside of even sports into this game.
It crossed over.
That's why, to your point, like feeling like you, the FOMO from having to go do the sports call last night, it honestly felt to me, just from the way I was gauging my timeline on Twitter, because we weren't on the air and we couldn't take calls then, like I was watching something that's akin to when this entire city gets together to watch a Steelers playoff game or watch a Penguins playoff game, or, you know, when the Pirates were there 10 years ago. You know, like it felt like it was a huge sporting event that everybody's eyes were on here. And that's why I threw that question out there. Like, holy smokes, people are so invested in this, they'd rather the U.S. beat Canada than the Penguins come back and make the playoffs.
It's just games with stakes.
Country over this, club, mostly. Not everybody does that from what I've heard.
Games like this, yeah, I still think I'm club over country. That's why I was just watching it, enjoying the fact that it was an insanely intense game. Just games of this intensity and this stakes where the players care, and the players caring is far and away the most important thing. In fact, you know, I think what is the next time they actually have something like this scheduled? Is it
the Olympics?
I'm saying like the Four Nations. Don't they have it in the
2027?
They do have it in there.
Oh wait, maybe it's
29. I thought it's no, it's not 28 because that's the World Cup.
Oh well, because I think that there's like an actual All-Star game in between some of this, so maybe it is a long time.
So I think it's 29. So just games with stakes where the players are good and the players caring is just such like a rare treat, because so much of it now, like the reason it's getting compared to the NBA is because the NBA, even the players in the NBA say the All-Star game sucks. And now people are talking about, should the NBA do something like
this? Right. Because
like the best player in the league is from Serbia. Can you have NBA versus the world?
And everybody got invested in this to the point where ESPN's like, oh my God, we have the rights to these games. We actually pay people to talk about these games. So they put P.K. Subban in there like they would put Ryan Clark or Dan Orlovsky on the air on these shows. And he's just burying basketball. Like, these guys don't give a rat's ass. You know, meanwhile, I mean, he's not the best messenger of that. Like,
No, he was getting clobbered on
Twitter
by certain people.
I'm watching him, like, show up to Stanley Cup games with a economy-sized jug of mouthwash only to get his ass spanked by Sid. But either way, I mean, it's still entertaining, and I think in this city especially, that comment resonates because we're so pro-hockey and anti-NBA.
I can't, well,
for the most part, not everybody, but you get my gist.
Well, it's trendy in Pittsburgh to be, it's fashionable to be anti-NBA at all times. Whether that reflects reality or not, doesn't even matter. You know, I came away from it thinking, this was awesome. They better not try to ruin it like they did outdoor games in the Winter Classic.
Do it too much.
They should do this like the Ryder Cup, which has the same sort of, you called it like jingoism, patriotism, nationalism. In that case, it's Europe versus obviously America. Every 2 years. And every 2 years, whoever wins it has that extra year to gloat. And whoever loses has that extra year to stew, especially if you lose in the title game. I even think if you can reintegrate Russia into it, you keep it Four Nations. And whoever finishes in last,
it's like relegation. They get kicked out. I kind of like that idea, actually.
Bump them and bring whoever. Obviously, Russia would be the first one coming in.
You're coming up with a good idea. You got that brain working today.
I came up with that on the sports call. Unfortunately, I don't know how many people actually saw it because they were watching the game, understandably. I just think you can make this a thing that will not get stale, that these guys are always, always.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.